306 DGS on KMOX. The just a quick point to make. This terrible fight that took place a few weeks ago, where the one girl beat a smaller girl, and then once she was beaten, she jumped on top of her and she smashed her head into the concrete 4 or 5 times. And now this girl's recovering and she's beginning to walk a little bit and talk a little bit. And of course, the other side, the girl that did the bashing, her parents and her attorneys are trying to rehabilitate her so she doesn't get tried as an adult. And she was in the orchestra and she was this and she was that. And here's what I come down to, whether it's this girl or it's me or it's Phoebe or Nick Glover. Sometimes I don't care about your past. I care about your act. And it's one thing to get into a fight. And it's one thing to punch somebody, because that's what you do in a fight, and you knock them out. And maybe you were a better fighter than you thought you were. Maybe your opponent was a worse fighter than you thought that they were. Or maybe you got lucky and you just one punched them and they're down and maybe they're hurt. To me, it's another to jump on someone who is prone, who is out, and bash their head against the concrete once, much less over and over again until they start having seizures. So while I understand, especially as a lawyer, I understand why all of it matters, why all of it is important, why all of it is probative, but there are times when I feel like you've punched your ticket by a specific act. Now, I don't mean punched your ticket as in this girl should never see the light of day again. I don't think that. She's a 15-year-old girl. But if you are capable of doing that to another human being, I need you to be gone for a while. Yep. Whether you're getting counseling or you're in jail with other kids or you're in jail with grown-ups or whatever it happens to be. But to me personally, my humble opinion, that single act itself, I don't really care that you were in the orchestra.
No. I mean, we that's how we consistently act. Think of your super nice guy that goes out drinking and drinks and drives and kills someone. Could spend his time giving to charity. Might be the nicest guy in the world. Guess what? You killed someone because of your actions, and the other stuff is not getting you off the hook, and it's not lessening the blow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the only way you can apply the law, right? If we're going to be constantly, you know, well, you know, you gave $100 to charity, so that's going to be a notch in your favor. Like, no, you did this thing. This is the penalty for doing that thing.
How often, and I mean, you know, just having your experience with the law that you do, how often does stuff like character actually help a defense?
A lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. It helps a lot. It when you have character witnesses, and especially if it's something that's non-egregious, mm-hmm. you know, like, nothing's coming to mind. But to me, if this were a driving violation, this is you went 140 miles an hour and you hurt someone really bad. That is sufficiently different to me from going 80 and getting pulled over and you get a ticket. You're going 140 miles an hour. You either want or don't care that you or someone else is going to get hurt. And when you slam someone's head against concrete, you're 15. You're not 5. You understand the basic mechanics of bashing someone's head against concrete. And so when I keep hearing all of this about what a great student in the orchestra and she'd never been in trouble before, yeah, that makes it even weirder that she'd almost killed somebody.
Yeah. I mean, to do that, you have to lose complete control of yourself. Right? Unless you are the person that is understands it and doing it anyway, but they're trying to say that that's not the case. So if that's not the case,
it's one or the other.
Right. Exactly.
You didn't accidentally bash your head 4 times.
No, that's the point, is that it's either you knew what you were doing and you did it anyway, or you lost control to the point where you did that, which means that's a big problem.
Yes.
Neither one of them is better than the other, because they could both lead to future actions that are similar to that.
Yeah.
what do you think this case looks like if it's not caught on camera and it just is word of mouth, hey, she got her head smashed?
Nothing like it. It'd be like Ray Rice.
Yeah, it's the same idea because we saw that play out in real time. When you heard that Ray Rice
punched his wife, you didn't like it. You were sickened by it, but you went ahead and you finished your Diet Coke.
Right.
When you saw the video, you didn't finish your Diet Coke.
That's right. And I think, I mean, we've talked about that a million times. Seeing something makes it real. I bring up the Vietnam example because it's a large part of what changed everybody's view. The video and the pictures coming back from Vietnam, showing people what was actually happening. And then the video of all of the caskets coming back. Like, that's the stuff that changed the public's mind about their acceptance of that. Right. And that's not just an incident. That's a national.
Yeah. Before
conflict.
That, they had, like, you'd go to see Dumbo and they'd have a 3-minute reel about how things were going in World War II. And it was like, you know, the boys are taking care of business in Okinawa. You know, you were seeing the real thing in Vietnam.
Right. And it changed people's minds. The public was in favor of it and okay with it before. And they started seeing it and they said, no.
Yeah.
We're not okay with that.
Stairway to Kevin.
All right. So a little bit lighter topic, but it's an interesting one because it's funny. It's a thought thing, what do we call that?
Experiment
that we talk about these types of things quite a bit. So my wife and I just finished watching the season of Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Mm.
It's really good. I'm not going to give away. There's no spoilers here. I'm not giving away anything in the plot because if you watch the trailers, you know that that's a show that's about an alien race coming to Earth. Okay. And advertising in advance that they're coming. They're saying, hey, we're headed your way. That's part of the trailer. So that's not a plot thing. How do we act if we knew that? If we know nothing else, we don't know how big they are, how small they are, what they look like, what their intentions are. All we know is that we sent out, you know, we send out the signals trying to find any, you know, if there's anybody else listening out there. And if they send us one back and it's, you know, they figured out how to communicate with us on a level that we could understand. And they say, we are coming. We'll be there in 100 years. How do we handle that? What do we do? What's the right way to handle it? I mean, individually, not sure there's a right or wrong, but like, as a government or as a, you know, as the United Nations, like, how does the world handle
and
that piece of knowledge?
In your thought experiment, can we communicate with them or we simply get a message and
only if they communicate with us? We can't direct. We don't know how to directly reach them. We just know that they got the message that we sent out and they replied to it. And that's all we know.
Is the 100 years thing part of this experiment?
In the experiment, yes.
Okay, I think that
they're saying it's going to take us 100 years from where we are now to get there.
At first, we come together, but we can't come together for 100 years. That's that's several generations. And I think what would happen is that 100 years is far enough away that we can kind of pretend it's not going to happen. But I think that it dictates all the politics. And I think you'd see something similar to what you're seeing today. I think you would see some leaders on the reasonable, rational, soft side, be like, this could be great. They could show us how to grow crops and they could show us how to end wars. And of course, we're going to prepare and we're going to keep our military. We're ready to go, but we welcome our new friends from Zeta Reticuli. And then people would make hay out of it. Are you kidding me? Look at these wussies. They're welcoming them with open arms. This is the Trojan horse. We need to develop nuke lasers and blah, 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 blah. And I think what would happen is it would dictate the next 100 years of life before they ever step foot.
Well, and then you would have the people who would be like, it's a fake message. This is all a conspiracy. I mean,
that would be huge right now.
I think it would be huge. I mean, you see,
especially
I'm not,
now, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a scientist. I don't know much
don't sell yourself short.
About global warming, but it does seem like the climate is changing. And yet you have all these people who are like, no, it's not. It's fine.
What if they were
changing
it? Who
cares if the ocean temperatures are raising
every year?
What if
they needed more carbon dioxide?
Yeah. I just found it interesting. Again, the show is much more complicated than that.
Did you understand it? I keep hearing it's impossible to understand.
No, it's very, no. I thought it was very easy to understand, and I can't wait for season two.
Unfortunately, you're the one person who that doesn't help me.
I'm like, that means so little.
Yeah, I didn't think it was hard to understand. I mean, there's definitely layers upon layers of what's going on. I just find it interesting that, you know, I think Rach's point is the one that I came to, which is, I don't know that we could convince everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Did they wrap it up in such a way that there will be more, or is it self-contained?
Oh, no, that's not over.
Okay.
Yeah. It's definitely set up, at least the way I read it. I mean,
all things being equal, all we get is a message saying, we are from this place.
This is who we are.
We're heading your way.
We'll be there in 100 years.
We look forward to meeting you. That's it.
Yeah.
Do you wish that were real? Would you welcome that?
You read my mind. That was my next question.
You know.
How would you handle it?
I would be, if they said, we look forward to meeting you, at that point, I'm fine. If they're like, we look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, but
then
it's just
tone would be important.
You look like you taste like chicken.
Yeah. Let's just say it's a text. It's text only. We don't hear their voice. There's no voice attached to it. It's just a message. They communicated in binary form, and we figured out in the binary code that it's their words. We can put them together in words.
Maybe they sent KK.
Maybe I'm just a lover, not a fighter, but I'm just willing to believe, okay, they're so above us that they have interstellar travel. They could hurt us without letting us know. So I would be pretty open to it and pretty positive about the entire situation.
No, it's an interesting read.
The
100-year told us they're coming.
Would kind of take me out of it, though.
Well, that's the thing is we're not going to be here in 100 years.
Well, I will, but
yeah, that's true. The Glovers will be.
I'll be really old.
Yeah, but like, so we're not immediately impacted by it, but
do you have kids? Let's say you don't have Shannon.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're coming in 50 years, so she would meet them. Do you chance having a child?
Yeah, I wouldn't change that. I wouldn't change my behavior on a complete unknown, because that's what it is.
Based on aliens coming?
You have no idea. Maybe they're coming to make the world better. You just don't know. You can't read their minds because you don't understand.
They're only going to take girls named Shannon.
Right. Who knows? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's, all the last names Wheeler are good to go. Although that would be scary.
323 DG asked, let's do some audio. As you guys know, there's a fight for the soul of Christianity. That's a weird way to say it, but it's true, at least politically speaking. Katie Britt said her name, the representative who did the response to the State of the Union and from her kitchen and Tradwife and that whole thing. And this is audio from the pastor of one of the largest mega churches in the world telling women how to handle their honeymoon.
Let's see if you applaud this. Ladies, when you get to his wedding night, he's been planning this night his whole life. So what you need to do is stand where he tells you to stand, wear what he tells you to wear, and do what he tells you to do. You're going to make him the happiest man in the world.
All right. I think that's in the Bible.
Just like the level of control. It's just creepy.
I mean, he started right out with his wedding night. Really? It's not both their wedding night? Guess who else has been planning and dreaming about a wedding night most of their lives? Not just the husband.
The girl, too.
That's weird, man.
That is weird.
Also, you're a pastor. Why are you talking about that in church?
I know. It's like, how did they even get on that topic as far as like, hey, talking about the honeymoon, which we all know what happens there, but you just do what he tells you to do.
Kids, earmuffs.
That's strange. That's a weird thing to come up during like Easter services or whatever.
I don't get that.
What else we got?
Would you like to play your molecules thing, Wheels?
I do want to play this. So this is comedian Pete Holmes. I think Pete's pretty funny. This bit, I was like laughing out loud, crying in my room at like 2 o'clock in the morning, because I was awake still, and it was so damn funny. We talk about like what it all means and how the universe is. This is kind of along those lines.
You're on a space rock floating in nothingness, infinite nothingness, and the infinite nothingness is expanding. That means endlessness is getting bigger. That makes no sense. We all just act like it's normal. Like, oh, where everything's made of molecules. Okay. Got it. I'll never think about that again. I'm made of molecules. You're made of molecules. The air between us, it's all made of molecules. That makes no sense. These molecules know they're molecules. These molecules are like, I'm Pete. That doesn't make any sense. This stool is made of molecules, the same molecules in my hand. In fact, some of the molecules in this stool went into me while I've been talking, and some that were me have gone into this stool. And you know, when I knock these molecules into these molecules, when we ask science, why don't they go through each other? You know what the answer is? We don't know.
It's just funny to me, like, these things that we know about science. There are things that make no sense. Like, the universe is infinite yet expanding. Does that not blow your mind? Like, how many times when you hear...
Yeah, I pretty much get it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't get that. I mean, like, how can something that has no end get bigger? Isn't that... that stuff to me is just...
I have an answer, but...
What's that?
It's because time-space is expanding.
Right.
Not the stuff in it.
Right. That still blows my mind.
No, yeah, sure. Me too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that doesn't make any more
right.
sense to me.
That's kind of what he gets to. Like, he goes, okay, you explain that. But it still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, all of, they're all inside. Like, so I was also, this is separate from him, but been reading and watching stuff about quantum physics. And the, you know, obviously that's about the things that are very small and at that level. There's so much nothing inside of everything that seems like there's more nothing than something, yet everything exists.
Almost everything's empty. Even a molecule.
Right.
Even a nucleus.
Right.
It's 99.99% nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yet here we are.
That should be the name of our next DGS special. 334 DGS. We be quite honest, we thought we might be in storm mode by this time, and Michael Calhoun and Dave Murray taking over, then we would slide out the door.
Nope.
Not yet, Dave. How are we looking?
Not yet. First of all, there's two things that really scare me. The combination of wheels and quantum physics.
Yeah.
Just really scary.
You wait till I figure it out, Dave.
Yeah, you just wait.
Any minute now.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
All right. Here's what's going on. First of all, things are very quiet in the St. Louis area. We're 80, 81 degrees right now. It's kind of windy. There are tornado watches up for almost all of western Missouri down into Oklahoma. There's a couple of things going on here, and it's really a confusing atmosphere. We talked about this last week, that the atmosphere wasn't playing all of its cards, at least showing them, and it still isn't. And it's a very complicated forecast. I'm going to basically break it down into two batches of rain and thunderstorms. The first batch is this afternoon into the evening, but the focus is west and north of St. Louis. Let's think a line west and north of Washington, Missouri, Wentzville, Troy, over to Jerseyville. I don't think that stuff squeezes into the St. Louis area. It's running along a warm front, and the warm front has already kicked through St. Louis, but if you are along that line and to the north of that line, some of these storms, and it's raining there now, could go strong to severe. Strong winds, damaging hail, very large hail possible. But again, that's going to have trouble working our way. It's kind of stuck to our north, and it's not really developing into severe stuff right now. And that may calm the atmosphere down. But what we're really waiting for is late tonight between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. There's a low pressure system that is going to track from the southwest right over St. Louis. It's in Oklahoma right now, and it's going to rocket basically right up I-44. And that's going to be the trigger for heavy rain, flash flooding, severe lightning, strong damaging winds, the possibility of small and large scale tornadoes. It's going to be a lot of spin in the atmosphere, and hail is possible. Though I don't think hail is going to be the major factor in the stuff overnight tonight. It will be smaller than anything that develops this afternoon to our west and to our north. The concern, obviously, is it's late night and people go to bed and people aren't necessarily paying attention to the weather. But it's going to come up quick on us, so we really need to stay up to date on it. If you have a weather radio, make sure it is on and ready to go, that your batteries are in place. But it's still having trouble unfolding right now. But I think once this low pressure system really gets going in Oklahoma, which is what it's doing right now, that's our main player. So for the St. Louis area, it's late tonight into the early morning hours. Then once that low kind of tries to come past us, has trouble coming all the way past us. So it kind of slows down. Very changeable sky on Tuesday with some showers, maybe a rumble of thunder. Very windy. 62 for the high on Tuesday, but dropping to about 49 degrees by sunset. Tuesday night, partly to mostly cloudy. It's windy and it's cold, 38 degrees. Wednesday, very windy. Could see some wind gusts of 45 miles per hour and chilly. And some wind-driven showers could pop up on Wednesday, but high 48. It's going to feel much colder than that. Opening day is still looking okay, partly to mostly sunny skies. And it's chilly. It's 55. But in the stadium, that will feel pretty good. There's no real weather concerns on Thursday. So we've got an active night on the way, no question.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Dave. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, so personal finance outlet Finance Buzz collected and compared several major fast food chains' prices over the past decade to find out which restaurant raised prices the most. So here's the rate of inflation at fast food restaurants seen since 2014. McDonald's has a 100% inflation rate.
Wow.
100%. Mm. Popeyes has an 86% inflation rate. Taco Bell is 81%. Chipotle is 75%. Jimmy John's is 62%. Arby's, Burger King, Chick-fil-A, and Wendy's is 55%. St. Louis Bread Company, I refuse to call it Panera, is 54%. And Subway and Starbucks is 39%.
Okay, I can follow my sword and admit I'm math stupid. So if McDonald's hamburger was $1, it's now $2?
And that's actually correct. I think a cheeseburger is about $2 at McDonald's.
Hmm.
Which is crazy.
That's ballsy, boys.
I'm having a hard time with that because I know that, like, what I get whenever I go there, what I get, I usually just get like a combo, like the quarter pounder of cheese, but that's not twice as expensive as it was.
I disagree.
It's not, because it would be $16, $17.
You know how much a 10-piece nugget combo is at McDonald's? It's like $11.
Right, but it didn't used to be five.
It did used to be five.
Not last year.
Not 2014.
That's his 14.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. You're right, Andrew.
I love that Kevin was disagreeing with the study.
Nope. Stupid.
He's like, that data sounds wrong.
I misheard it. I thought it was like since COVID or something.
He just told you were right.
Yep. Happens once in a while.
I know.
Not that he's right, that I say that, yeah.
No one has claimed a $1 million Powerball ticket from last October. Winners have 180 days to claim the prize, and this deadline expires on April 11th.
Is it local?
No, it was
thank God.
South Carolina.
It was about to go on a rampage.
Rip his house apart.
I know, I never look. If I don't win the big one, I'm like, oh.
Bird flu is spreading to dairy cattle. American dairy cattle are being infected with the avian influenza, also known as bird flu. The USDA and CDC say cases have been confirmed in Kansas and Texas and possibly in New Mexico, Idaho, and Michigan.
Remember that story I did like 3 weeks ago, because I'm always scooping everybody, about the fish swimming in circles till they died?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that on the news this weekend.
See it last night? Yeah.
Yep.
Crazy. Yeah, CNN is all over the fish swimming in circles.
Yeah, they are obsessed with it.
The White House Easter egg roll was delayed by lightning. We're not the only ones having weather here. It was delayed by about 90 minutes today due to thunder and lightning. Some 40,000 people braved the elements to take part in the annual tradition on the South Lawn.
Oh, thank you.
Having just visited the White House.
I forgot you did that.
I don't know how the hell you had 40,000 people in there.
Yeah, how big is the lawn?
I didn't think it was 40,000 people big.
Yeah. Do they like? Yeah, are they all there at once, or do they rotate?
Yeah,
in
that
and out.
Be.
I'm sure they rotate people in.
Why? Why would? No thanks.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Sounds lame.
Sounds like a big pain in the butt.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these big events. I mean, honestly, not to be a party pooper, but a lot of large events, I'm just like, yeah, but where am I going to park?
Yes. And it's DC, so it's already a cluster.
All right, this is terrifying. OpenAI's voice cloning tool needs just 15 seconds of audio in order to completely steal your voice and make it sound like it's you. OpenAI even admits that this tool is too risky to be released to the general public right now. It's called Voice Engine. And they just require one 15-second audio sample, which along with text input is used to generate natural-sounding speech that closely resembles the original speaker.
What do you guys, one, think is the most... What do you think it will be used for the most? And what is your biggest fear it'll be used for?
Hmm.
The same thing.
Yeah.
disinformation,
making people think
that someone is saying something they didn't say. Like the robo, I mean, I know it's simple, but we did that.
I see another application for
it. Yeah, I mean, we had that robocall thing in New Hampshire where there was a voice imitating Joe Biden saying, don't bother voting today, save your vote.
What is the positive application for imitating
imitating another person's voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, what would be the positive application for that? Like, what's the good thing that we could do? I've never found a good thing.
I mean, it's really only, it seems like it's good for like people in art industry. It's like, oh, I have a stack of spots I need to record. Oh, just put it into the voice input and it'll get done for you. Right, exactly.
Right.
So this is the only industry where I could really see it being relevant and used for good, or maybe like movies, instead of bringing actors back into like dub over scenes, they can just, oh, okay, we've just made their voice with AI.
Those are very small markets.
In general, I think it's just going to be used to troll people, to trick people, to break up relationship. I mean, it just seems like a terrible thing, but it's coming.
Yay.
What are we going to do about it?
Dave just went, woof.
Yeah.
That's Snowflake is dreaming.
Yeah, Snowflake's like, don't give him my voice.
Yeah, when it comes to the radio stuff, though, if you had, you know, 15 spots to record, your choices to record them are to type them all in and have AI do it. I don't see the benefit there.
That's
you still got to do it somehow.
Well, if you get a digital copy, you just copy and paste it into the tool.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you can make ChatGPT write the copy and then voice it for you. But again, like you said, David, at that point, you're jumping through so many hoops. It's like, just voice
just
the
name. Just do it. Sit down and do it.
And my final story here, this is a weird one. Harvard University is removing human skin binding from a book that they have in their library. This is a 19th century book called Destinies of the Soul. It's been there since the 1930s. And in 2014, 10 years ago, scientists determined that the material it was bound with was, in fact, human skin. But the university has now announced it will remove the binding due to the, quote, ethically fraught nature of the book's origins and subsequent history.
What's the book about?
I don't immediately go good for you, because obviously I'm not into skin books, but at the same time it's already in existence. It's 100 years old.
Been there a long time.
There are a lot of terrible things that have happened that we preserve. So, yeah, I didn't immediately go like, yeah, you're a hero for that. At the same time, I'm not going to
chain myself to a cubicle
to keep the skin books.
Yeah. So it was a book that was given to a doctor who then reportedly bound the book with skin from the body of an unclaimed female patient of his who had died of natural causes. So they want to remove the skin and try to figure out who this woman was and give her some sort of memorial.
Why would he do that?
That is a great question. Because he's a little freak.
I didn't like the use of the word. Do we know the historicity of this? And it's probably just some.
I didn't like the
weirdo.
Use of the word unclaimed there either. An unclaimed corpse.
No, weirds me out is the prevalence of grave robbers. Back when the medical field was first starting, and they needed bodies to dissect, and it was like a real business. Like, you might be in the ground for a couple
market,
of days.
Yeah.
I'm taking a stand against that one.
Good.
Yeah, don't
Good
do
call,
that.
Dave.
Get back to you on the skin board.
We're with you.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got it. Like is the
353 DHS. We have the Sweet 16 of most iconic games we played as kids. I know that we're living a lot longer than we used to, and I know that we are not typically putting 14-year-olds in charge. But when you look at the Pope and King Charles and Biden and Trump, on and on at all, well, boy, we got a bunch of old guys running things.
Mm-hmm. And it possibly...
Does it make you crazy?
Some of it. I mean, you know... Like, it's different to me in a place where you're electing people as opposed to people that are born into it or appointed to it. But like, you don't want to get rid of that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have that around. You want to have them accessible. But I do think it's helpful to have people in positions of power that have actually lived in real life at some point in the last 25 years.
I agree with that, and I think this might be the worst possible time to have a bunch of old people in charge because we are on the cusp of AI changing the entire planet.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe if you don't know how to use a smartphone, and I'm not pointing at any particular one of these
men. You mean the Pope.
I was talking about King Charles. I hate that guy.
I just don't know how much they're able to comprehend of what is coming. You know, that's kind of scary stuff.